Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison term.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Plays podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Liberty Plays podcast. It's January 2021 and there's excitement in the air. If you don't know, this is the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Peoria County and the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County. My name's Eric Stahl. I'm Libertarian Party Chair of Tazewell County, and around me, immediately to my left, is...
I'm Jacob Irish. I'm the Vice Chair of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County.
And I am Donnie Henry, and I am the Chairman of the Libertarian Party of Peoria County. I'm the Lone Wolf.
And you got a state title, too, right?
Yeah, well, I'm the Vice Chair of the Libertarian Party of Illinois.
All right, thank you.
See where my allegiance lies.
Yeah, I know, but you're royalty, really,
yeah,
around here.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. No.
So, normally we do this podcast immediately following the monthly meeting. The monthly meeting this month is going to be on January 28th. It's a little bit delayed because I think Donnie's going to be traveling the world or something like that.
Yeah.
Not going to be like at the White House fighting off intruders or anything.
I sure hope not. No, okay. I'm going to be about an hour away at Andrews Air Force Base, and hopefully I'm safe there.
And that was planned long before inauguration.
Long before inauguration.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So we will be having the meeting on the 28th, and I suspect I'll probably be up at Liberty Tower, and we'll do another podcast after that. So
yep.
Who knows what will be going on the next 2 weeks. So we got a lot to talk about. We decided, instead of waiting until the 28th, let's get into all this craziness. We got Brady. We got Madigan. We got HB 3653. We got the impeachment. We got all kinds of stuff. Guys, I don't even really know where to start. I mean, I feel like if we start with Trump, you know, that's like the big shotgun load, isn't it?
Oh, it's a shotgun load.
Yeah, let's start there because by the next one, not going to be there.
He won't
Hopefully
be there.
We
anymore.
Won't have to talk about it.
My sources say he could still be there. And if he's not, he's coming back in March or April.
Okay.
Who's your source?
Gitmo or something in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Something's going down.
It's happening in 2 weeks, guys.
Yeah.
It's always 2 weeks.
Stop the steal. And here, I'm going to say this right now, and I'm probably going to upset a certain amount of listeners right now. But if you subscribe to any of these theories, you're probably not going to like anything we talk about for the next 30 minutes in this show.
Turn it off now.
We've saved you.
Yes.
Yeah. I have yet to be convinced by anything that any of these people have told me. And I know a couple of people personally who are involved in all this controversy. They have stacks of papers and they followed the lines and they get their news from alternative sources that certainly somebody like me has no idea what's going on. But they have yet to be right about a single thing.
Yeah. So. When I hear these things, I always think of, you know, when you go into a bar and you see the sign that says free beer tomorrow. So if you go tomorrow, it still says free beer tomorrow. So it never actually happens, but you read it.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I read most of these things of, okay, it's free beer tomorrow.
Perfect example. I think of the cult leaders that say, you know, the Savior is going to come back today.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't show up. He's like, oh, no, I miscalculated. It's going to be in 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the way it's going to be. But I'll say this, Eric. What I want to say out to people is that I admire their passion, right?
They have their passion.
I will say this, that I think everyone in this room and most people out there in podcast land will agree that our government is broken.
Yeah.
And so if our government is broken, I can understand why people are so angry, because the answer to fixing this government is not Joe Biden.
No.
We just happen to think in this room that it also wasn't Donald Trump.
Well, I think that it was so broken that somebody as flawed as Joe Biden could possibly win the election.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, he was possibly the worst candidate ever presented by Democrats. I mean, I think Hillary Clinton would have done more for this country than Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that, you know, considering what's been going on in the last year, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the antithesis to Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Joe Biden wrote the 1994 crime bill. Kamala Harris locked up over 5,000 black men for nonviolent crimes. They are the anti-Black Lives Matter, and the Democrats nominated them, and somehow they won. That tells you just how much of a mess we're in.
And it also tells you why people are feeling the way that they are.
Yeah.
Because how is this possible?
Yeah.
How, you know, Joe Biden, really? He's the one that got the most votes out of any president.
That's just how bad the candidates were.
So
right.
I don't know about you guys, but when he won and he came out and gave his acceptance speech or whatever it was that he did, the president office of the president-elect, which is made up, by the way.
Right.
But he did this speech, and I thought to myself, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, I'll even go Ronald Reagan.
John F. Kennedy.
Joe Biden.
Yeah.
This is like we are at a new level of just incompetence in American presidents. And it's just really sad. And so I understand their passion.
Yeah.
I know why they're angry.
No, I understand too. And I think there's a level of desperation.
Yeah.
You know, they can't concede. They've invested their hearts and souls and sometimes everything they own, you know, into a candidate that they believe was going to take them to the promised land,
yep.
And it didn't happen. Yep. And then that candidate still swears up and down that he was robbed and you need to, you know, you stop democracy from being stolen. Oh, my God. It's incessant and it brainwashes people. And I think going back, you think Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid, you know, the Savior's coming, you know, everybody. Yeah.
David Koresh.
That kind of narcissism and that level of disrespect for your followers will take everybody down.
Well, and libertarians were sitting there, so when is he going to end the wars? And when is he going to, you know, cut the federal budget? And all of these supporters always said, every single time, they said to us, oh, well he's got to strategically do this, and he'll do this next term. You know?
He's going to do it in another 4 years.
Yeah, another 4 years. So
why is the national debt keep going up?
Yeah.
When is it going to be slashed? Remember, it was supposed to be slashed in 3 years.
Jake, he spent more in one term, or as much in one term as Barack Obama did in 8 years.
And, you'd like to say it's COVID-related.
Yeah.
But realistically, that was happening long before COVID even started.
No, that was just rocket fuel. I mean, that just took it to a new level.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's crazy.
What'd you do with your $600, guys?
$600? I don't even know. I haven't been able to do anything. I probably spent it on beer.
I did buy 30 tons of gravel.
Did you?
Yeah.
So,
you didn't load up with ammunition?
No,
you can't get ammunition.
Oh, okay.
You know, I did go to the range a couple times. Camp Shooting Sports.
Okay.
They're not really an official sponsor, but a great place to go.
They should be.
But yeah, so, and I will say this, that's one thing is that when I think about that money, I think to myself, you know, I probably should put this into firearms. That really is what I'm thinking of, so I probably will. There's an amazing gun, the Springfield Armory.
Are you
They've
in
got the St. Edge. Okay. But yeah, so that's probably what I'll do, Eric.
Okay.
Firearms.
All right, that's good to know.
And booze.
All right, I'll be at your place.
Yeah,
I'll be at Liberty Tower when the shooting starts.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so...
I'll be at home.
Yeah. So the impeachment, the gist of the impeachment is... You know, they're going to try and basically disrespect him before he leaves the office.
Yeah.
And what do? Lose all your benefits at that point? Would that be the point of being impeached?
Well, isn't the other point where they could charge him in the future?
Well, I think
is that the basis of this?
The basis of trying to impeach him, one, is because the Democrats never failed to take an opportunity to try to make themselves look good, which is going to backfire, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that it also would prevent him, if he is actually convicted, of running for office again. So 2024, Make America Great Again would be over.
Old is he going to be in 2024?
How old is
Biden's age?
Yeah, Biden's age. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But
what's
but
with all these old 80-year-olds?
This is the best ideas. The best ideas of our country come from 80-year-olds.
Because they lived it.
Can I say this? I would still elect Ron Paul.
Oh, sure. So, I mean, because he's lived by an ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. He's principled.
He hasn't swayed.
Yeah. He has never swayed. Right. And then the other thing I heard today that just is unbelievable is I found out that the president, after they leave office, has $1 million travel budget.
Yep.
Why the hell are we paying these assholes $1 million to travel the country?
For book signings.
I mean, it's just insane.
Go to their libraries and they can...
Why are we...
I could see giving them one officer to protect their ass, but that's it.
Right.
That's all they get.
Right.
You know, it's enough already.
Oh, Donnie, you're just not a patriot. Come on, you just don't believe in the value of the presidency.
Oh, yeah.
You told me a quote. I mean, I don't know if it was a quote or if it was your philosophy, but this was probably the first time we had a meeting. You said, you know, if you believe that the president has too much power, then why do we allow that? I mean, it was basically the gist.
So, yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, what's if the president can change your life, then he has way too much power.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where we're at. You know, that's where we're at today. So,
all right. Is that all we got for Trump right now?
Well,
we're going to watch it burn.
Yeah. Are we going to talk impeachment though, or the insurrection? I guess.
So storming the Capitol.
Yeah.
Stop the steal.
Stop the steal.
That day that it happened.
Trial by combat.
The day it happened, one of the QAnon people at my dealership. Was saying, oh, that was an actor. Oh, yeah, that gal who got shot, that's fake blood. You can see the gun. It actually is not pointed at her, and she didn't die. She's an actor. And I'm like, those people really died.
But I thought it was Antifa.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay.
But she's an actor.
Yeah.
She's an Air Force veteran, I think.
Yeah.
The gal, she's legit, and her boyfriend posted something later on about it. You know, she took that bullet. And I watched the footage. It was horrible. But
horrifying.
People were so worked up. Their adrenaline was so high. They were sure that they were there for the right reasons and principled reasons to save Donald Trump. I don't get it. Now, from when I first saw the footage, it looked to me like 1,000 people, maybe 2,000. How many people were really there?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe at the tops, like 5,000. I mean, okay. I guess that would be the most.
And they had to know, knocking in the glass of the Capitol building and going in there while there's senators in there. That, I mean, there were guys walking in there with cuffs. There were people with firearms, right?
I have not seen someone with a firearm.
Yeah, I've watched some video, but you know,
in the Capitol, I didn't see anyone.
I thought outside I saw some.
Sure, I don't know if that's true.
But,
or not.
You know,
okay, well, don't quote me on that, folks.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, one thing we talk about, you know, maximum of 5,000 people there. You know, not all 5,000 went into the Capitol.
No,
right?
A couple hundred, probably. Yeah.
Maybe not even that. No. I would say 50, 60 people. I mean, it looks packed, right? But if you go to the Capitol, it's the outside's grand, but it does get narrow.
Stairways are just an office building.
Yeah.
But so. I think you have to start with this by saying, what the hell happened with security? You know, like I woke up this morning and I had coffee and I thought to myself, I wonder if there's going to be a riot in D.C. today. I thought that. So if you're telling me that the Capitol Police didn't think may want to put up a little bit more security today, and they didn't. And so that makes me immediately my conspiracy theory tinfoil hat goes on and thinking like, well, did someone want this to happen?
Yeah.
Have you seen the video of them waving people in?
Yeah. Well, I think part
of the real thing. I don't know.
I'll say this about that is it's probably if they didn't have the manpower to stop them, that was probably the smartest thing they could have done. Because rather than try to stop them and get pummeled, you know.
I don't think these people would have stopped based on what I saw. There would have been more shots fired probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that was the prudent move.
Yeah.
But that disturbs me deeply why they didn't have the security.
Yeah.
But then I'd also add that I don't think that this was an attempt to – you know, they want us to think that this was a coup or an insurrection of our government. Look, that is just – I think it was a riot that got out of hand.
Yeah.
And I think people found themselves in the Capitol. They were pissed off. Peer pressure got them there.
Yeah, you're following – you're in the moment. And it's already coming out. People going like, I just went with it.
Well, and they want us to – I heard someone say yesterday on the floor of the Capitol, one of the congressmen – and they were like, this is the worst attack in American history. 9/11?
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
The Oklahoma City bombing? I mean, this is just pathetic.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to diminish anything they've done there, but it's hard to believe that this is really the first time this has happened in modern history.
Completely.
You would think – I mean, I think there's some decorum. You know, everybody knows there's some things you just don't do.
Mm-hmm.
These guys obviously went past that.
Mm-hmm.
But have we become less civilized? Have we got to a point now where we don't follow that decorum?
I think that there's a couple of things here to break down. One thing is that obviously I feel terrible for the officers. I feel terrible for the families of the officers. There was one or two passed away.
Two, I think.
I feel terrible for the family, even the protesters that passed away.
Yeah.
So I have a deep I feel really bad for them because that should have never happened.
I'm going to yell at you if you keep moving back. And
okay,
forth.
Sorry,
you
I'll sit back.
You sit one spot. Down.
I'm animated.
You're
okay, I'm sitting back.
One spot.
I'm sitting back. It's getting me pumped, you know? So I feel bad for those
people.
He's going
to the Capitol,
but,
right?
But it,
he's in the moment.
It's very difficult for me to feel bad for the people that are in Congress that have killed and murdered in our name around the world.
Oh, yeah.
They've stolen our liberty. They've stolen our wealth. Your son's son, his wealth is gone. So for me, it's hard for me to feel bad for them. So it's just the fact that this hasn't happened yet is stunning.
It's shocking to me, too.
Yeah, I feel bad for just us, the American people, right?
Yeah.
A friend of mine who was from overseas in Europe, you know, that they live here, said, you know, they watch the international news, and it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel bad. I'm with you on who gives a hoot about Congress. They should fear us.
Yeah.
These people have killed, you know, in our name with our money.
Yep.
But I do. I feel bad for everyone involved, and I feel bad for what that image was in the world.
And I think that it's clear. It's important for us to clarify that libertarians, one of our basic principles is that we don't believe that we should ever initiate force to achieve political goals. And so I don't believe that if we were to go in and overthrow the government, that ends well. Because who ends up being in control of the government? We're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
You throw the Constitution out.
I think to be really clear on that non-aggression principle, that's literally, for a libertarian, why the Capitol hasn't been stormed.
Yeah.
Why we haven't attacked the Capitol is because you do not have aggression. It's a non-aggression principle against gaining political power.
Yeah.
And that's the whole basis of it. So I have a lot of people go, well, you know, libertarians are probably loving this.
No.
No.
Not at all.
No. Wrong reason.
No.
Wrong reason.
If we can't save this government by changing hearts and minds, then this government can't be saved.
Exactly.
And so I think that that's why it's so important that we preach non-aggression and understand that this was wrong. But at the same time, I hope that this woke some of them up, that people are pissed and people have had enough of this shit.
I'm just more afraid they're just going to put up bigger gates.
Well, that's all
they're
going to
lock more people out, which gets to the next point here. The inauguration's coming up this week, and now mm-hmm. we've got 20,000 troops that are going to be guarding, and they're going to lock out the mall.
Yeah.
What a shame.
And, you know, what normally is a peaceful, you know, undertaking now is held at gunpoint. We're keeping people out. And it frightens me that that's a slippery slope from this point on. If we don't like the candidates, we're going to see more guns and people being held out.
Well,
I think it sets a precedent.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it seems to me as if now our Congress and our government are now treated more as oligarchs, as royalty.
Yeah.
And this is
protected from the people.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be that people could walk. I mean, I understand that that can't happen in this society nowadays, but it used to be that it was the people's capital. The people could walk in there, you know?
You almost could.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who lives out in Washington, D.C. He was originally from here, but when I visited him, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, you almost could just, hey, I'm here. I want to hang out. I want to go around all the memorials you could. And if Washington D.C. is turning into you have to get through gates,
Well, then we've lost our liberty.
We've lost.
And
a lot.
The last thing I'll say about this whole impeachment thing is that we have these people down there talking about Donald Trump that he led an insurrection and a coup. You know, Donald Trump. You know, of course, I don't agree with his rhetoric. But if that was a coup, and that's what – then we've got problems.
Well,
you know?
See, that's the thing. 380 million people, these are the 2,000 people that showed up to fight for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, I mean, I'm not worried. I have friends of mine. They're like, oh, this is just the beginning. This just shows where the country's at. I'm like, no, this just shows where 2,000 whackpots could show up at one time.
And let's be honest. Most of us aren't going to do shit because we're sitting here – we all live good lives. Every American lives better than most people in the world.
Yeah.
And so we live in these comfortable lives. And yeah, there are some things we need to change in our government. But you're not going to pick up arms and risk your life and your lifestyle for that.
Not for Donald Trump.
No.
I mean, I could see if I felt like this election was stolen, truly stolen, and it was from trusted people I know, and I said, you know what? We have a good man in office. It's being stolen. I would probably be one of the first guys to say, we need to go to D.C. We need to protest. We need to do whatever. Donald Trump is not the guy I'm hanging my hat on or waving my flag for.
No.
Donald Trump wouldn't step across the street for you.
Wouldn't get dirty for
you. If you were on fire, he wouldn't pee on you.
No.
He somehow has enamored himself to the common man.
Yeah. Isn't it weird?
And to the downtrodden, to the underdog.
But we always do this. You know, it seemed to me like the same thing happened with J.B. Pritzker. You know, we look at these people that are billionaires.
And we're like,
they know what we do. Those people haven't done their own laundry in 25 years.
Yeah.
We have a serious issue here, though, because they're, you know, when we talk about free speech, you know, Donald Trump didn't walk into a theater and yell fire. He did incite people. But you cannot just put that all on him. And you can't put that on him.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, but any more than – you can't put that any more on him than you put that on the members of Congress that were saying in the summer that the police were shooting black people for sport.
Yeah.
You know, that those riots, you can't put that on them.
Okay, but then like tonight I was driving home in 1470. I'm listening to Robbins and Markley and Van Camp.
Yeah.
Those guys are kind of right-wing shills at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an advertisement for Newsmax. And Newsmax, they're like, oh, listen to all your favorite people, Rudy Giuliani. And I'm trying to think of the list of right-wing talkers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit there and listen to that garbage for 3 hours a night, it poisons your brain.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, maybe Trump didn't tell people to do that. But if you tune into Newsmax, you turn to Fox News and I wouldn't say Glenn Beck, but who's the other guy? Hannity. If you listen to Hannity and you listen and Rudy Giuliani comes on there and start talking, I mean
– Tucker.
Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love-hate with that guy.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
great foreign policy.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
it's insane.
Great in the first half and lost me in the rest of it.
Yeah. No, but I do think that it's very we're in a very dangerous time, and the free speech is the thing that concerns me.
Yeah.
And we could go on all night about the whole Facebook thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I've never in my life understood – well, I listen to England radio a lot, London radio station I listen to, and they're not allowed to talk about political news unless they give equal time on everything. And I'm always like, oh, that's so backwards, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know – maybe.
Wait a minute.
Equal time for everybody? Maybe we should be doing that.
Might help the libertarians.
Yeah, maybe.
Just thinking that.
Right? Yeah. Right? Maybe Hannity should have that gal, whatever, with the boy haircut. What's her name?
Who are you talking about?
Maddow. Maybe.
Oh, Rachel. Hey, she wears it well.
She does.
Yeah. She wears it well.
No, she's no, but no. I mean, those two are like professional talkers.
Yes.
So you have those two back to back or side to side, you know, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. And then people just can't get up and like go to the microwave. They have to like get the differing opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll neutralize.
And we get John Stossel.
Yeah.
We get Stossel.
Yes.
Anyway.
For the win.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a thought. You know,
but crazy,
I could be on to something.
Crazy times.
Yeah,
man.
Anyway.
That's all.
He said we should be like England. I heard him say it.
Well, can I just – last thing I'll say. I was looking at places around the world because, you know, you and I were talking about – you know, I'd just gone to England before COVID. And I was looking at the property taxes in England. It's less than the United States.
But you don't own your land.
You
when
do.
No, you don't. When
what
it's
do you
all
mean?
Said, when it's all said and done, it's still a Commonwealth. You
oh,
don't.
Is it still,
you
okay.
don't.
Well, for all intents and purposes, it, I mean, it's, you own your land.
In England, it, you know,
while I think
you're
you can
alive,
still will
right?
it to your family, it, but
okay.
yeah.
Well, I don't think you can. I think they have that generational wealth.
Do they have to buy it
law
or something? Yeah.
That
okay.
you can't
first right
just
refusal?
Give. You mean you may have like first right to live there, but it's I think it's almost a straight up rent system.
Crazy.
Okay. They don't have you know the land mass.
We have a rent system here.
Well, yeah. I mean,
if you don't,
yes,
pay, if you don't pay,
your
if
property
I don't pay my
taxes.
$7,000 a year, I don't own this. Okay.
Yeah.
I
the government
totally
owns it.
Agree with you, but the system there would be that it isn't like it doesn't belong to the family, right? Unless
okay.
it's part of the Commonwealth.
Interesting. Okay. I did
it's,
not know
it's
that.
It's a generational yeah. wealth
well,
thing.
Well, still, it's cheaper to live there, okay?
Yeah. While you're alive, because
yeah.
who
alive.
Cares when you're dead?
At least in property. But
totally.
Sales tax, all the other taxes. TV tax.
TV tax, yeah. Oh, they call it VAT. Value added tax. Yes.
Gotta get the beer
VAT.
Is great, though.
Gotta get the VAT, yeah. All right, so I guess that's enough about Trump for right now. National Mall shut down. Okay, so the other big news, if you're Illinois and you're Illinois-centric, you understand who Michael Madigan is. He spent the last 38 years in the Illinois Senate, right?
Or the Illinois House
running things down there. He was basically the Chicago machine in Springfield, and he has been the kingmaker of basically everybody.
He's the only one in the country that is double duty. He's the leader of the Democrat Party and the leader of the Speaker of the House there.
Nothing has happened in the state that hasn't touched Michael Madigan.
Nothing.
So,
Michael, and look where we are, guys.
Yeah, we're awesome.
The grass is so fucking green.
We've watched him spiral us down. Well, in the meantime, Madigan is a property tax attorney who has changed tax bills for major corporations throughout the state for the last 20 years with his company, made lots and lots of money saving people on taxes. It's so weird how you could do that, how you could be the head of the he needed 60 votes. He didn't get it. I don't know how this whole thing went down. Something shook out. Now he is being investigated, but he's always investigated. There's nothing new about the Fed watching what he's doing or wiretaps or something like that. But is this the signal maybe he's going to jail or something's going down or what?
Maybe. It's just hard to take someone down when they don't have email, they don't have a cell phone, they don't have a social media account.
It's like the mafia.
I mean, it's pretty intense. Yeah. So it's hard to track that guy down. But I do think that with this ComEd situation, with these improper donations, this pay-to-play type stuff, I think that they may actually get him. And I think it may have a snowball effect. And I think what we're going to find is that Madigan was just the tip of the spear.
Yeah.
And the Republicans and Democrats are both in bed on this entire thing.
Sure.
And and maybe that makes sense, because wouldn't that be why there's really been no Republican Party in the state of Illinois? There's really no opposition in this state. And we've always wondered, how can you have such conservative people south of I-80 and not have some sort of rebel yell?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nope.
The gerrymandering on the north half of the state, though. I mean, you look at the districts and everything, and there's a reason the Democrats have held on to the northern third of the state, right?
Sure, yeah.
But after running myself as a libertarian against Republicans, and then you had candidates on the Peoria side running against Democrats, I mean, there's no reason that there shouldn't just be Republicans running amok downstate.
We had more libertarians on the Peoria County ballot than Republicans on the Peoria County ballot. Yeah.
So that was just a surrender to the Democratic Party.
There. Absolutely.
And downstate, it's arguable that it's just not a surrender to the Republican Party. So you would think there should be a lot of Republicans running around Congress in Illinois, and it's just no influence whatsoever.
Or at least loud. At least their leadership would be loud.
Yeah. It seems like some of these younger guys I'm seeing
– getting a little louder.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the bill here in a few minutes, but I think there was that win. Mm-hmm. I shared his thing today where he showed the bill – got it at 3:30 in the morning, had 1 hour to vote on it. So, I mean, I love the fact that these younger guys, younger gals, are willing to share, say, hey, the BS is here,
Yep.
Maybe that's the new wave.
And it's hard, though, because I think that most people have their eyes on national politics. And it's, people don't pay attention to state
politics.
We
can't here. I mean, I think everything is county level, state level. It's so much. We have so much more at stake. The federal level doesn't have that much to do with my daily life.
Not at all.
The county and state have everything to do with my life.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you just got $600.
From the federal government.
From the federal government.
It's all good.
They control you.
Yeah, right. That's blood money, right?
Yeah. But just the only thing the federal government does is devalue our currency. Yeah, it makes it harder for us to live here. Yeah. So.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Monetary policy, no.
So the other announcement that was kind of weird this week was Bill Brady, who's been a longtime senator for our area. He has 2 years left on his term, stepped away.
Stunning.
Just stepped away. And that was before Madigan's announcement. And so because of what I'm kind of doing right now and just trying to integrate myself into Tazewell County, I know a lot of these players, and I'm watching – the chess pieces move, and I see Ackerman do this, and I heard an announcement about Zimmerman. I'm just like, now wait a second, how's this all work? Well, apparently the Republican Party of these four counties, the Republican Party chairs, basically like our Libertarian chairs, four county, they're going to select the candidate that gets slipped in there for the rest of that 2 year term.
Mm-hmm.
And that's king making there, because you have to know that whoever you put in that term for the next 2 years is going to be pretty strong as an incumbent.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go in there and primary against that guy unless they really screw up or somebody's got money to throw around.
And what do you got to do to get that appointment? That's what the scariest part about
kissing
it is.
Some butt, I have to imagine. You have to be sucking up hard to the party at that point.
Is that I think I read an article. Nicholas Sarwark posted an article about the real deep state. That's right there.
You had a great post about that.
These people are not the ones that are elected. They're chosen.
Yeah.
And then they get elected.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're, like you said, they're the incumbent. Unless they really screw up.
Yeah.
They're just that name, and they go, and they get elected.
Yeah. Nobody knows who they are. So if Jody Russell, whoever Jody Russell is, gets nominated, and maybe she's just some person that they found that's a semi-professional, and she's got a good look, and hits the media target, Jody Russell is going to get reelected, because she didn't screw anything up, and nobody else is going to go against her. I heard, and I don't think it was from either of you guys, but somebody had wanted to run against, who did Ken Allison run against?
Keith Summer.
Keith Summer.
Yeah.
But they had gone and talked to Chuck Weaver, and Weaver had said, it's not your time, you have to sit back and
that
wait.
Was Ken Allison. Ken Allison went to Chuck Weaver, said, no, that's – no. Yeah.
So you basically have to go to these kingmakers and be allowed in the door.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what sucks. God bless Chuck Weaver. He's a good guy. We've met him. He's come to libertarian meetings. I think he has lots of great values. His farm's for sale, by the way.
Is it?
Really?
Very strange, right?
And he didn't do
$745,000, I believe, you can buy the whole polo field.
How much?
$745,000.
That's cooler money. That's a steal.
It doesn't seem like a bad deal.
That's a steal.
Except for maintenance.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a steal.
Yeah. Anyway.
Huh.
But there should be if you're a Republican, everybody who wants to be a nominee for that seat should be able to throw their name in there.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about the Republican Party fighting against you.
Yeah.
Let the best man win.
Yep.
Let everybody have an equal chance. Don't let the kingmakers decide who's going to be the primary candidate.
Well, and the problem that the Republican Party has is that they have this aura of being country club Republicans. And Chuck Weaver fits that.
I was going to say, that's
great
exactly
guy.
The description, yeah.
Great guy, and although he's not necessarily a country club guy, he's the I have a farm, come look at what I have, type thing. Great guy. He does a lot for the community. But the problem is that's the thing that they have going on. They don't have regular people in the Republican Party. And so they have that image, and it's going to be very hard for them to beat that. And so now this is the conundrum that they've created, is the leadership has been that country club Republican, and now they've got the Trump Republicans that are going to come in.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to battle between that and the people that, really weren't conservatives to begin with.
Sorry, Trump Republicans. I don't think you're organized enough to figure out how to get on the ballot.
Exactly.
And they're going to get frustrated, and they're going to firebomb
stuff. Yes. they will show up to a march and wave the Trump flag and do a caravan.
But they won't
caravan,
get on the, they won't get
but
on the
they
ballot.
Won't show up to their local county meeting and take over their local Republican Party.
Right. Yeah.
And the Republicans know it.
Yeah.
And because of that, they won't have an impact.
It's rhinos, right?
Yeah.
Republican in name only.
In name only.
That's
What the hell does that mean? That's who they are anyways.
That's it.
But again, let the best candidate win. Because
yeah.
I would argue that there's –
squirrel.
Is centrist in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't blacklist a rhino. A rhino is
no.
– I think
– You evaluate.
Yeah.
I evaluate them by their policy.
What do they
yeah,
do?
I vote
what
by the individual and the character at that point. And going back to the country club thing, and I'll talk about this at the end of the show, I met Dave Zimmerman finally.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
yeah.
say we're friends, but we had a great meeting.
Yeah.
And I met the guy, and I'm like, you know what? I didn't know him before, but I felt like I've known him forever after that meeting. And I'm like, he's not a country club type guy. He might be a country club type guy, but he's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, trying to balance a budget, had some problems with some people who were spending too much money in the county, maybe not doing their job, and he upset them all. But you know what? I think that's kind of what you're supposed to do if you're running a tight ship, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, there's a Republican I could probably – if he were nominated –
You could talk to.
He'd probably hate – they'd probably all hate him.
Yeah.
Well, hey, this guy means business. This guy sucks.
But
you know.
You could just talk to him, have a conversation.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Phil.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm so proud of what we've tried to do here in this local area is we don't turn our backs on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I do have problems with the way things are going with the Republican Party. But if you are someone that truly is a conservative, you believe in the Constitution, you're going to protect the Second Amendment, we could be homies,
Right.
Like, I don't have a problem with that,
yeah.
And all we've ever wanted was a seat at the table. And how do you get a seat at the table? You extend your hand. And I'm so glad to hear that the Tazewell County Republicans have extended a hand back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Peoria County hasn't done that, but,
No.
But – We'll
talk more. It was on our tight-knit schedule.
Yes, let's stay to the schedule.
Yeah, let's stay to the schedule. So the next thing, and we'll talk more about my breakfast with Zimmerman here this morning. It was great. Anyway, HB 3653, 764-page amendment introduced at 3:51 a.m. on Wednesday and voted within an hour. How do you feel about that, first off?
The first question I always ask is, who actually, like, how does this get typed up?
Like, who are these people? It's
people?
Not Mike Madigan.
No. Wow.
Who really has the power?
Who can
answer that?
How is that done?
Oh, my God. We're clipping all over. I can hear it. I'm sorry, people. It is what it is.
QAnon, answer that.
The rage is palpable in this room.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, no, it's ridiculous. They dropped these things at the last minute. We've known this. Madigan did that stuff with the budget the last time.
Yeah.
He dropped it at the last second and said, this shit's going to pass, and it passed. The guy is a gangster, and he still is. The Democrats are still doing that crap. It's terrible. And they took the best part of the bill out. They took the qualified immunity out.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, we can talk a little bit about that because I'm not sure. I mean, let's just go through a few of these things. I highlighted a few things in the police reform bill. We had, okay, number one, reporting deaths in police custody. Okay, that seems like a no-brainer. Expands police training for the use of force and crisis intervention as well as first aid training. Okay.
Unfunded mandate, though. So that.
Understand that. Everything that they've asked you to do, your local population is going to have to pay for because the sheriff's department and the police department have to get these trainings.
Yeah, and then they have to figure that out after the fact.
Taxes are going up. That's all
I'm
saying.
Right. Oh, that's how they figure it out.
All right. So, and then this one's in bold. Requires statewide standards and services for officers to receive regular and mental health screenings and assistance. And I highlighted that because, Donnie, you've talked about that a lot. Over the last 2 years, I think, you've talked about mental health training for officers.
Yeah.
And
well, and what's crazy to me is, just coming from a military background, we send someone out to deploy. They don't come back. They can't deploy. They're in a thing called dwell. They can't go back out, you know, for so long because of the things that they could have potentially gone through, the stress. And we don't do that to officers. Officers go out, they could see someone have their head blown off, and they'll say, your next shift is on Thursday.
Yeah, have a good weekend, Phil.
Yeah, so I think that it's very important we get the mental health training that they need. I think that's a good part of the bill.
And I knew you would like that.
Yes. You highlighted it.
Yeah, I did, for you, Donnie. Requires police departments to participate in the FBI's use of force database and strengthens the requirement for the use of deadly force. What does that mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the next one is prohibits chokeholds by police officers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
The guy in Minnesota wasn't a chokehold.
No.
The guy had a knee on his throat.
No.
That wasn't like something they teach them.
Well, and here's the thing is that when we talk about the situation that
happened. I don't remember his name. Sorry.
You're talking about George Floyd?
George Floyd. There you go. Yeah.
No, when these things happen, you know, having these laws to say, well, you can't do a chokehold. That's not going to be what prevents them from dying. If these people are going to kill them, they're going to kill them. And so for me, yeah, I'm glad that they put this policy in place. But at the same time, I also don't want to hamstring our police officers because they're just trying – most of them are good people trying to get home to their family.
Listen to this part. I don't mean to skip ahead here. But bans the use of certain military equipment and provides guidance – on the use of crowd control measures.
You like that one?
Yeah.
What is that? 760 pages of the 764-page amendment? Because certain military equipment.
That's been
a
cry though for a while though when these guys are getting military surplus the tanks and stuff like
Bartonville
that.
Bartonville has a tank. Yeah. You know that's the big thing we always talk about here. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
but
there's no.
It doesn't say bans the use of tanks.
No,
it says bans the use of certain military equipment and then guidance on the use of crowd control measures. Is that not a thing now?
I think what the issue we have is that, you know, the military sells their surplus stuff to municipalities. Mm-hmm. And so what we've got is we've militarized the police over a period of time. And what happens when you train as a military member, you train to look out for the combatant enemy. And we don't want to ever have our police officers look at citizens as if they're enemies, you know, combatant enemies. And I think over time, the training has kind of shifted to that. And so I understand where they're coming from, But at the same time, I think that it's more of a policy issue. It's more about the leadership in those departments. You know, if a department head, a police chief, a sheriff says, those are enemy out there, we need to get out in the field and attack the enemy, well, then that's going to end up badly for them.
But what if you're in St. Louis or Detroit and you're in the murder capital of the United States? So how are you a cop in those areas and not having to realistically understand you could die every night at work?
That's the scariest part. Yeah.
So you know? They are enemy combatants at 3 a.m. in the morning at a convenience store with a robbery.
Yeah, oddly enough, those are the places that want to defund the police, you know.
So, I'm just saying, it's a double-edged sword. And I'm not justifying anything.
No, folks. It's interesting. I'm not leaving anywhere. You know?
So this was an interesting one, too, and I could understand it. Imposes upon police a duty to intervene in excessive use of force by another officer and to render first aid when necessary. No brainer, right?
Yeah.
But
I guess there's a situation that might be the George Floyd clause right there.
Yeah, where people watched, you know, or the officers watched.
Exactly. Enhances whistleblower protections, okay. Extends all restrictions on the use of force that apply to law enforcement officers to bounty hunters as well. I didn't realize there was separate regulations for bounty hunters. Didn't even know there was still really bounty hunters rolling around.
Dog the bounty hunter.
Yeah. I did watch Teenage Bounty Hunters. That was on Netflix. It was kind of fun.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was. Bans the use of certain military. We just talked about that. Requires the maintenance of police misconduct records and requires that the use of special prosecutors and officer-involved deaths. Special prosecutors have always been a little bit kind of I don't know how that whole thing works. If you get into a hairy situation and you got to come back to the chief and that whole thing, hey, what'd you do out there? Anyway, I always think of like a movie. Something wrong with me. Expands the misconduct database. I do kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember when George Floyd died. I mean, the guy that killed him,
a huge record.
Yeah. Why was he still there?
I don't know enough
about it to speak down about that guy, but it sounds to me like he shouldn't have been.
Something was off.
Yeah.
He had a troubled history, yeah.
Yeah, something was off.
But sometimes people don't want those jobs, and that you take what you can get. I know how that is, hiring people. You know, right, Jake? You know how that is.
Yeah, I know how that is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's kind of a shady salesman, but well, he might be able to sell some cable.
No, that's not mine.
Okay, just checking.
You pay for it tenfold. No, that is not a thing.
Sorry, didn't mean to equate it to a salesman of cable TV.
Yeah.
And then collective bargaining.
Yeah.
That one, I think they actually took that part out, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to go back up to the top because there were a couple things that Pritzker didn't sign off on or somebody didn't sign off on. The body cameras have to be statewide by 2025. And I'm all for body cameras.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with body cameras is just like anything, even at my dealership where I work, the data. You have to pay these companies to hold the data.
Yeah.
And
again, an unfunded mandate.
Right.
Yeah.
Which means
it's not cheap.
Taxes.
No.
Yeah. The cameras, I was talking to one guy. He said, you know, you get like a year on the cameras. He said, you know, when they first got the squad car cameras, they had VHS cassettes. They used to slide the cassettes in there every time they pull somebody over. He goes, and these cassettes were all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? And so they held on to the cassettes for like 10 years because they had to do that.
Now it's in the cloud.
And now they have to hit a button.
I forgot the password.
But now it's on all the time. And sure, terabytes of data are so much cheaper nowadays, but you got to hire either a company or a firm that has secure data that can't be broken into, right?
Yeah.
Body cameras. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so that's where we had to pause for a little radio station break. So anyway, the biggest thing to me was the data. Having to pay a company and a service to hold this data, and I think, I mean, even my records for what I deal with are 7 years, and I think they were saying maybe these police records are 10 years they got to hold on some of this footage.
10 to 15?
Yeah, it's ridiculously long.
It depends on the situation.
Yeah, I could see them having to keep them indefinitely. I mean, military records we have to keep 50 years. I mean,
wow.
I mean that's and the reason is because you just never know. You know,
yeah,
when you're going to need it for. So,
So another unfunded mandate.
Yeah,
yeah. So now we put this back on people.
And as if we don't have enough unfunded mandates, we've got these pensions that are just going to bankrupt the cities, you know, and municipalities. I mean,
I had one of my employees today. He figured out that you can look up people's property taxes online. You can see everybody's taxes. And he goes,
"Why is that news to him?"
And he looked at me. He's like 20 some years old. And he goes, "Good Lord, 75% of your taxes go to your school." And I'm like, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm running for school board.
Anyway. You're worried about president. I'm worried about school board because of my taxes.
Because that's what affects me directly. Yeah. That's what people don't get. You know, When you're crying and complaining all day that you don't like the policies and what's affecting your pocketbook,
no.
It's the local politicians.
Yeah. Did you tell Brett Grimm, hey, I'm going to have to clean up your mess now?
No, actually. No. It was funny because Zimmerman said, oh, I heard there's going to be a big train wreck now that you've left the board. Hopefully they get somebody competent.
Yeah. Are you running opposed?
No. I don't believe so. I'm still –
You still haven't looked?
I can't look online. I went to the Tazewell County online to see that there's no ballots on there yet. So they didn't draw randoms for our school district. So I think that means that there's if they draw random, that means somebody's placement on the ballot.
Yeah.
So I don't believe there's anybody against me. Is what I believe, but we'll find out. I have a little niche area, so I think I'm still good. Yeah. Okay, so there were a couple things that were scrapped from the provision, the 764-page omnibus, and one of them is one that Donnie has been militant. It's they removed the qualified immunity for police officers in Illinois, which would have placed them at more financial liability for violating someone's civil rights. And my thought process on this, and changed my mind, Donnie, was that if you have this, if you remove this from where it is right now, the cities and the individual, I mean, the lawsuits are going to just be astronomical. Lawyers will be chasing every time somebody gets punched in the face. It just seemed to me like
no more than now. So let's just tell the podcast viewers out there, or listeners out there. So qualified immunity is a legal doctrine that basically means that police officers can't be held personally liable for violating someone's constitutional rights.
Yeah.
And this is basically based on decisions that judges have made, and it's now legal doctrine. And the problem with that is in every other profession, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you are anything else, you are held responsible for your actions. And police officers are no different. They're professionals. And so what happens is if they violate someone's rights, they can't be held liable for it. And then what happens is that there's still a lawsuit. So Breonna Taylor, who was killed in the middle of the night, no-knock raid, they still sued, but with a suit was done to the city. So the taxpayers are now on the have to foot the bill for this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the issue. Qualified immunity holds police accountable. It makes them think before they act. But at the same time, what happens with it is that you have liability insurance. So a police officer doesn't just go out there and say, well, if I make the wrong decision, my life is ruined. You hold policies just like every other doctor or lawyer or anybody else that's a professional. So they would have they'd have liability, and if they couldn't be insured because they were such a shitty police officer, just like the George Floyd situation, then they could no longer be a police officer. And so it is something that would be a perfect way to solve the problems that we have. It would hold police accountable. It would make a situation where if you have a history of being a bad officer and violating rights, you could no longer be an officer. And with unions, we have trouble firing officers because of that. But if the law says that you have to have a liability insurance policy, if they can't have that insurance policy, there is no union that can save them. You know, so I think getting rid of qualified immunity, that is if you're talking about criminal justice reform and qualified immunity ending it is not part of your criminal justice reform, it's not serious. So the same thing with this. If that's not in the criminal justice bill, then yeah, you might have accomplished a couple of good things, but you really didn't fix the problem.
And they put first aid in, they put body cameras in.
Yep. So
I understand where you're coming from. I mean, my thing is with insurance policies is, you know, a friend of mine, his kid got in a couple accidents, and the second accident she was in, the bill rolled over $25,000 that she had for her plan. And so State Farm sends a letter, says, oh, hey, by the way, looks like this bill might roll over $25,000. We're just going to let you know we're only covering $25,000, and you'll be on the hook for the rest of it.
Well, these police officers wouldn't end up paying this. This would be something that would be part of the compensation package.
Well,
this would be a benefit. So it's not something that at any time, if there was excess, like if their insurance policy went way up or there was excess payments, this would be something that would be covered by the municipality. And it would save the taxpayer money because we ended up – and I don't know the exact amount, but Breonna Taylor's family got millions of dollars from the taxpayers. Not from the person that violated her rights and killed her. They got it from the taxpayers. So I guess that's where I'm at with it, is that I would rather have one person liable for their actions, just like a doctor,
mm-hmm.
and and then have to work that out through the insurance policy than have it be where the taxpayers are the ones that pay for it.
Do you think, though, that you would have people that with nothing to lose would be the frontline grunts, and then you would find people that have gotten in their careers are probably better officers but have more to lose, be like, I don't want to be out there on the front lines. I don't want to deal with this because I could get sued. And my family has we have some property. My wife has this or that. You know, I have more at risk.
It's possible, but I also think that the way that we are now, you know, we're almost to the point where sometimes officers act as if it's the wild, wild west.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, I'm back in the blue, so I've got cover. You know, and that's created the problems, you know. That's created the problems where people act with, you know, no regard, you know, because they know that at the end of the day, they're not going to be held liable. They're going to get off on this. And so that's why you see people – and remember that a lot of the things that happen, you know, when we have the toughest policing, like you said, in East St. Louis or some of these terrible places, you know, these are the places where there's the worst things happening, you know.
Yeah.
And so people are scared for their lives, but at the same time, that's where the people of color are. And so that's where the minorities are. And that is where this whole Black Lives Matter thing comes out of, is that the low-hanging fruit is there, and that's where people are getting killed. And it's not justified, you know.
All right. So I went after Donnie with three tough questions, so don't think I'm just a shill to Donnie, okay?
I let you guys do it.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I understand that this is a radical change, but I think that at this point we need a radical change.
Yeah. I did hear from some officers that I know personally that the qualified immunity was the part that just said, you know what, if I'm at risk and doing my job, I don't want anything to do with it, and if it comes down to it, I'll just retire.
Something tells me that benefit package that police officers
keep them there
might keep them there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that they get paid peanuts. Maybe I'm wrong, but
– You're not wrong.
I don't think police officers are getting paid
definitely
peanuts.
Definitely not peanuts. Yeah. No. All right. Yeah. Well, I think that's all I had for the major issues. Is there anything I missed here before I move on to my conversation about my breakfast?
I want to hear about the breakfast.
Yeah, let's hear.
But before you – yes, exactly.
What did you have for breakfast?
Well, okay, so I'm on Noom right now, so I had the single egg
and
a couple sausage links. And Mr. Zimmerman actually picked up the bill, so that was great.
Okay. And what did he have?
He had two eggs and a sausage patty.
So he one-upped you.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I'm trying to be –
Brett Grimm, what did he give?
He
had the feast, didn't he? He's a Grimm. He had the feast.
So anyway, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not trying to be comical about this whole thing, but Donnie and I had a conversation on a previous episode, and I said to Donnie, I said, you were right about everything but one thing, that I never, ever had a conversation with Dave Zimmerman. That was who I was running against for the Tazewell County Board Chair. And it wasn't that it bothered me so much. It was just like, you know, I think from your past experience with other candidates and stuff, usually there's a conversation and everybody's like, all right, everything's amicable, but it never happened. And it wasn't a huge deal to me. It really didn't bother me that much.
It was more of an issue with me. Like, I was upset about it.
Well, it was more that Donnie lied. But so since the election, there's been the Rural Internet Committee that popped up on the Tazewell County Board, and I've been trying to parlay into that because of my neighbor, and I would say my friend Brett, who's now the Tazewell County Auditor. You know, I've had some conversations with Brandon Hovey, and of course Dave is the head of the board. He got reelected, so it's his committee, it's his board. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, well, once his name popped up for Brady's spot, I reached out to Brett and I said, I don't want to lose a chance to get on this committee. It's an unpaid. I don't want to say just a citizen member, but it's
important to you.
Absolutely. It's something that keeps me up at night, the internet connections out here in Tazewell County. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, if he gets that Brady spot, he's going to be long forgetting about any of us down here. Mm-hmm. No disrespect, but it's just one of those things. He's going to have his plate full.
Sure.
So I need to rush in there. So Brett texted me back and said, hey, why don't you do breakfast with me and David, whatever. And so that was this morning, Thursday, the 14th of January. And so we met at 6:30 at a undisclosed location that's still serving food indoors and had breakfast and had a great conversation. And I think I can't remember how much we alluded to earlier in this conversation for this podcast, but just a decent, nice guy I'd been spoon-fed a lot of terrible things about him,
yeah.
you know, before we started this. And
not
you know,
from me,
no,
just to be clear.
No, yeah. and I think everybody's got an agenda, and that's the one thing you learn when you're going through this. You know, if you're going to be an opponent to somebody, there's a couple different ways to attack,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we can go right for the weak spots. We can go for character. We can go, you know, we can try and find all these different things. But realistically, I didn't have a lot of axes to grind with the current county board chair.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I was concerned, he's trying to run a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
He's got everybody in control. There's not a lot of scandals going on in Tazewell County.
No.
Other than the fact that there's really nothing but Republicans. To me, that's a scandal.
Yeah.
There's more than just Republicans in Tazewell County, but they're not represented. So I was happy to get my 20% as a Libertarian.
Did
but,
excellent.
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you did great. Yes.
So we sat down, and one thing he said to me, he's like, you know what? There was nothing mean-spirited in your campaign, you know. So and so if that brings me to the table, you know, we had civil discourse during the election.
Yep.
Not really discourse, but as far as how I addressed it, you know, I'd still complain that he didn't do anything. And I you know, I called
yeah.
him out there,
yeah.
like, you were a ghost. You didn't do anything,
yeah.
you know. But you know what?
He didn't have to do anything.
He didn't have to do anything.
But that's more of a reflection on the system than
yeah.
Dave Zimmerman,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, so it was a good meeting. And again, I'm still trying to work on getting decent internet. I'm going to work on the school board to make sure that my kids get the best education, that kids in DMAC school district get the best education. And if that internet aspect is in there too, hey, it's all bonus to me.
Yeah, I think the internet aspect is going to be in there going forward, period.
Yeah, yeah.
Like no
it has to.
Remote learning. It, oh, it's
yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah,
after COVID, the vaccines, guess what? Remote learning is still going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, kids, if you listen to this later, but the snow days that we all had around this table, they're not going to exist. It's not going to be a thing.
Well, first off, there's
remote day.
Global warming, the no snow days.
No snow anymore, right? Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so Donnie, it all worked out. And Dave did listen to our podcast, so I think our conversation about that just kept that ball rolling. And once again, Donnie Henry. You just keep moving things along.
I'm trying to move the ball forward.
Yeah.
I'm not getting anywhere in Peoria County, but at least we're getting somewhere in Tazewell County. Stephen Morris, if you're out there, I'd love to have a sit down with you. But no, I'm so glad and I'm so proud of what you guys have done here. And honestly, this is what it's all about. And I think that, you know, we have a different point of view as libertarians than Republicans have. You know, and I think that that's important to remember is that we bring a unique voice to the table, and that voice can help Republicans polish their own policies. And so I think that we get too caught up that we are different when really the things that we are alike, we don't help each other in those scenarios.
No.
You know, the things that we agree on, that doesn't get progress. It's when you act, when you grind an axe, that's when you actually make progress on things. And I think that when we discuss ideas that we have differences of opinions on, and that's now that you have a seat at the table with that,
yeah.
I think that you'll be able to do
well,
that.
Well, and credit to you, not to kiss Donnie's butt.
Well,
I tend
yeah.
to do that in a lot of these podcasts. But I mean, but think about all the people you brought to the table at the Libertarian meetings in Peoria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you brought Sheriff Asbell. You brought Chuck Weaver. You brought in what's his name? City Council member.
Zach Euler.
And you brought all these.
Yeah, Jim Artis.
I wasn't there for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you
no.
missed that. One.
Oh
yeah.
man,
that was like that was like the least attended meeting ever.
It was.
Yeah, he probably was like, this is a fringe group.
But think about that. You brought all these people in. Obviously, we're the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
We are a party, a legit party. We're on all the ballots. But yet, you brought these Democrats. You brought Republicans.
Yeah.
You brought people into the room to share ideas.
Yeah,
it wasn't to indoctrinate anybody. It wasn't to call them stupid.
Nope.
It was just to have a conversation, say, this is what we're all about. This is our values. Can you find room in your platform? You know, or do you agree with us and see the reason mm-hmm. where we're coming from?
Yeah.
I give you tons of credit for that.
I appreciate that. But that's really been the whole goal, even since we started this whole thing. I mean, we all three of us came into this about the same time. I think you two before
Jake
I did.
And I were before you. But
yeah, yeah,
who's,
you
who's
guys,
counting? Who's counting?
Yeah, yeah, who's counting? One meeting. Yeah. Two meetings, maybe. But no, I honestly think that this has always been the goal is that we've – and you talked about it earlier – that we were brought together on the hatred of two horrible candidates.
Yeah, the worst candidates.
The worst candidates in history. And we just did it again. And so we're tired of having the status quo. There's too many good people out there to be satisfied with what we have. You know, so we should try to continue to bring voices to the table.
Yeah.
Eric and I – not to go too off subject, but when – I remember at that, it was probably our second meeting. I think we had been there for two meetings, cruising.
No big deal, but.
Yeah. And we were at a table, and there's another group at another table. No one else is really in the bar, and this guy was wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Oh, I think I remember that,
so we thought.
Oh, that's right. That's
and it
right.
was Donnie, Make America Sane Again.
Yes.
Do you still have that hat?
I do still have that hat. Awesome. Yeah. It was a Johnson Weld hat.
Oh,
yeah. You know, they should have really rode that hat. That was that would have been
really,
a big thing.
They didn't ride much.
No.
They didn't stick with
Aleppo. That's all they rode.
Yeah. Oh,
they rode Aleppo all the way to Election Day.
All the way.
Yeah.
All the way. But no, I'm proud of everything that's happening, and I think that it's a lot of hard work culminated to where we are today, and it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's,
well, we'll keep plugging along. That's all we can do. I mean, it's always a foot forward.
Yep. Yep.
Everything's always been a foot forward. Even if you don't win, it's a foot forward because it's something more than has been done before, from what I can tell.
Yep.
We're groundbreakers.
Absolutely.
All right. That's all I have. If you don't know the website, libertyplays.com, you should make sure you follow that along because that's where we post these podcasts, and certainly subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, all those different places that have podcasts. We're doing more of them. We got kind of lax in the last year. I think the election kind of rejuvenated some of this. So if you have any commentary, you have any questions, you know, certainly, you know what we should have? We should have a question for Donnie, like a fast round where Donnie just like blows off answers.
Whew.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to not have like two or three beers before I have it. We do that at the beginning of the show.
Two or three beers.
Yeah.
It's a requirement.
Yeah, so I kind of like this idea. So, yeah, send your questions.
Let's roll with it.
Yeah.
And don't tell me until then.
Oh, no. There's no cheating here.
Yeah,
so.
No cheat.
Anyway, thanks. Have a great night. And we'll see you on January 28th. And if not, listen to the podcast that directly follows that. Again, for the Liberty Plays podcast, I'm Eric Stahl.
I'm Jacob Irish.
And I'm Donnie Henry.
We'll see you next time. That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more Liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.